When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, it is Trags, Mike Petralia, back with the latest episode of the Jungle Roar podcast, powered by CLNS Media and Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in all of North America. Joining me here on this episode is Jay Morrison of Pro Football Network and the Growler podcast. By the way, Jay, it's great to have you back on a regular podcast with the one and only Paul Daner Jr. Are you enjoying that?
Yeah, it's been great. We kind of put it together a month or so ago. I wasn't sure if my current employer at Pro Football Network was going to go for it, but they did. I'm thankful for that. And yeah, we're having a blast. The reaction's been great. And it's a really good time, but I also enjoy being a guest on this show as well.
Oh, I appreciate that, Jay, but you are a true pro and everybody loves to hear your commentary. That's why I have you on. And certainly there is a lot to cover and we've got a short amount of time, relatively speaking, to do it in. So let's get right to it. Your impressions of who the Bengals have brought in free agency, the additions at least, who stands out the most to you?
I think my favorite move has been Gesicki so far. I had him targeted as one of the tight ends they should go after, and along with Hunter Henry, two Patriots from last year. And Hunter Henry signs for $9 million a year, and the Bengals get Gesicki for $2.5 million, 1 year, kind of a prove it deal. I just love the dynamic that he can bring to this offense, especially in the red zone with his length and his height, his
yep,
contested skills. Just love that pick. I love the Von Bell pick. I wasn't so high on the Sheldon Rankins. I felt like that money could have been better served to throw at DJ Reader. I know, you know, three tech versus a nose tackle, different thing, but I just felt like stopping the run was their bigger issue. And to put all that money on Sheldon Rankins, maybe he changed my mind yesterday. His press conference was incredible. It was really entertaining, and he kind of banged the table for himself, saying that he can stop the run, and you know he thinks that he can fill that DJ Reader role and do both. We'll see, but I like all the guys they've signed so far. But this, I'm getting deja vu from last year. It's like they got to get a tight end. They waited till the owners' meetings at the end of March and get a cheap Irv Smith that never worked out. This year it's right tackle and defensive tackle run stuffer. Those were the two biggest needs coming into free agency, and here we sit 6 days since the start of free agency officially began, 8 days
right
since the negotiating, and they don't have either one of those positions in the fold yet.
Yeah, that surprises me a little bit, but you and me know full well, and everybody that covers the Bengals I think know full well, the Bengals are in the habit of letting the market come to them.
Yeah.
And that can be a risky proposition. But last year it worked out great, or at least very well. If you consider Orlando Brown, the potential he certainly brought to the Bengals offensive line is one of the best tackles, left tackles in pro football. He had his ups and downs in his first year with the Bengals, but on paper, I think the Bengals played it pretty well there with Orlando Brown Jr. and got their left tackle. Are they going to get as fortunate again now with Jonah Williams in Arizona after he signed with the Cardinals? Can they really expect to have that market slide back to them at right tackle?
I mean, I don't know about slide back to them. They've got Trent Brown coming in today as we record this on Tuesday. I have a feeling they're not going to let him get away. I mean, the options really dwindle if you let him get away and sign somewhere else. And, you know, we've seen them do this. I think it was a Friday. They brought Riley Reiff in of that first week and they made sure he didn't get out of town and he signed it. Same thing with Lael Collins 2 years ago, where they brought him in and just made sure he did not leave. So I think they're going to make a strong run at Trent Brown. I know he's on the upper side of 30, but so is Sheldon Rankins. They're willing to step out of their comfort zone if it's a position of need. And I don't, it'd be interesting to see Trent like I said, Trent Brown's really the last real good one out there. But here we are in week two, so I don't know where that dollar value is going to land. SpotRack had him at 3 years for $21 million.
Right.
I don't think the Bengals go 3 years for someone that age. But if you're paying $7 million annual for a 2 year deal, kind of right in that same range with Rankins, I think that would make all the sense in the world.
Let's look at the free agents that they've signed so far. We mentioned Sheldon Rankins, 2 years, $12.9 million. Geno Stone comes in at 2 years, 2 years, $4.2 million for Zach Moss, 1 year deal for Mike Gesicki, like you said, a prove it deal, and 1 year, $1.2 million for Von Bell. Obviously, when you look at that, those five players, they're not going very long term. I think, like you alluded to, Jay, they're going to have to go more years if they're going to get a guy. I think they'll probably have to go 3 years, right, if they want a guy like Trent Brown.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's in their plan, because they fully expect whoever they draft at 18, assume it's going to be a tackle at 18. That's going to be their tackle of the future. So I don't know that you want to lock a guy up like Trent Brown for 3 years. It's more of kind of a bridge guy. So maybe they do a void year and just give him a bunch up front for it's technically a 1 year deal, but it's technically a 2 year deal, but it's essentially a 1 year deal. I don't know. I can't see him going 3 years for
no.
Trent Brown's going to be 31 here in April. So I don't know. I mean,
the cynic out there is going to say they haven't had a lot of success drafting. I mean, I guess they did, do well with Jonah Williams, but their history in drafting offensive linemen has not been great.
Yeah. I mean, that, I don't even think you have to be a cynic to say that. You just have to be a realist. It has not been good at all. But still, that's what your plan is when you go in and you draft. You can't, it's almost like you can't play being afraid of getting hurt. You can't draft afraid of grabbing a bus. So I think that's their plan, is to get somebody at 18 that can be the left tackle or the right tackle of the future. And I don't know. I just Trent Brown has played right tackle in his career. I don't know what he's asking for, but I'd be surprised if they gave him three. I think a 1 year is even more likely, and then he can hit free agency again next year.
Right.
Maybe it is a 2 year, you can't let that guy out of the building. This was one of the biggest needs they had because of that, because you haven't drafted very well offensive linemen, and because you still need a swing tackle. I know they re-signed to Cody Ford, but I still think you need a veteran guy that with a lot more starts in there that you can count on. They're not going to have all five offensive linemen start all 17 games again this year. That was crazy that happened last year. You're going to need a really quality depth piece there at tackle. And I just think Brown makes perfect sense if the pick at 18 comes in and beats him out as the starter.
Hey, CLNS and Jungle War listeners, I want to tell you about an exciting daily fantasy sports platform called Prize Picks. What is Prize Picks? Well, it's the largest DFS platform in all of North America. They are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including some pros out there, you pick more than or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and just watch the winnings roll in. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this basketball season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And if you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is also really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You can't beat that. Go to prizepicks.com/CLNS and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, go to prizepicks.com/CLNS and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Your thoughts on Von Bell returning? I thought his press conference was also highly entertaining, and I think he's going to bring a lot of stability back, even though it's a 1 year deal. I think he's going to do for Dax Hill and certainly Jordan Battle what he and Jesse Bates were able to provide a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, DJ Turner, all those DBs. I mean, is Dax a corner now that Von Bell came in? I think that's the – I love the signing. I think it just makes all the sense in the world. You already got Carolina giving him $6 million of the $13 million guarantee that they gave him in that deal last year. So he comes in on a cheap deal, and he brings that knowledge. He brings that leadership. I wonder where he fits, because Jordan Battle was probably their best rookie last year, and they're definitely starting Geno Stone. So, you know, if you were a betting man, who do you think plays more snaps at safety next year, Von Bell or Jordan Battle? Because I don't think they signed Von Bell just to be a clubhouse guy. I think they signed him to play,
yes,
to be on the field. And yeah, Lou likes to use some three safety sets, but I mean, are you going to stunt Jordan Battle's development if he's playing 30-40% of the snaps instead of 100% like he would have been? I'm just really intrigued on what they're going to do. I love the signing, but I think Lou has to come up with a plan to make sure all those guys stay engaged and stay apart. He doesn't like to rotate DBs. Maybe this is a year where he really has to.
You know, Jay, you bring up, I think, a great point, and that is the Bengals are in an interesting spot. You want to develop your young players. You want them to play as much as they can to develop quickly. But you also don't want to have a repeat of what happened last year. You had too many young players making too many mistakes at key times on a roster, you know, even before Joe Burrow got hurt and was lost for the season. That was built to get deep into the playoffs, get back to the Super Bowl, and finally win a Super Bowl. That's all we heard about last offseason. The Bengals also, they realize that, so they bring back players and veterans who can bring, I think, something to the locker room that was missing last year. Don't you find that dynamic pretty interesting, the Bengals trying to play both sides against the middle there?
Yeah, I mean, the locker room aspect of it is important. I mean, we've talked a lot about the culture that Zach has built, and now you're seeing some of those pieces walk out the door, DJ Reader chief among them. I mean, that guy meant so much to the locker room. So it's a tricky situation. And I really am. I don't know which way I would lean if I was placing a wager on who plays more snaps at safety between Vaughn and Jordan. I do like a lot of the, I know people are cynics on, every time you announce they've signed a depth piece and they're like, Super Bowl or whatever. You got to have those guys. And I think the Trenton Irwin re-signing was a really smart move, and getting Tanner back to pair with Gesicki was a really smart move. Even Travion. So I think they're going about this the right way. They're taking a bunch of, smaller bites at the apple, as opposed to, going after that big swing like last year with Orlando Brown. We'll see if the defensive tackle one is the one. I know we're on safety now, but defensive tackle one's the one that really concerns me, because that's one of the biggest reasons they were 1-5 in the division. That was with DJ Reader last year, was their inability to stop the run. And now DJ walks out the door, takes all that leadership and all that production with them. It's a big concern.
Yeah. And, if you don't address it in the coming weeks of remaining a free agency, or where a lot of the talent still remains, you're going to have to do it in the draft. And that is, I think, dicier if you're asking a college, unless you spend, which they haven't, and we've heard a lot about this, unless you spend first round capital on a defensive tackle, and they are not prone to do that, or history has shown they haven't done that for what, 30 years, 25 years. How long has it been? 94?
Since Big Daddy, yeah.
Yeah.
And you look at
Big Daddy Wilkinson.
They're all these guys are three techs. They're Tavondre Sweat from Texas is the one really good, maybe the only one run stuffer in this group. All these other guys are three techs, and they don't need that. They just signed Sheldon Rankins. They've got BJ Hill. So that's, I Sweat, I think he'd be a reach in the first round. And I think there's a big question if he's there sitting for him in the second round. So they've got to get somebody in free agent. And the well's drying up. They had T.R. Tard in for a visit. Doesn't look like that's going to work out. There's not a lot of great options left. At least at tackle, offensive tackle, you feel good about Trent Brown if they can get him in. If it's not T.R. Tard at defensive tackle, I don't know that you've come close to solving that, no matter who they sign that's still out there.
All right, let's move on to another position group, and one that I think got a lot of attention last week when the buzz was going down with Joe Mixon. Obviously, he was traded to the Houston Texans for a conditional 7th round pick. I thought it was pretty savvy by the Bengals. I thought they did a solid to Joe Mixon, and they signed Zach Moss. Your thoughts on Joe Mixon leaving and what Zach Moss brings to the table that might be different than what Joe Mixon brought?
Yeah, I mean, it was time for Joe to go, and that doesn't mean I think he's washed up. He's just, he wasn't a fit in this offense anymore, and we heard it for the last two combines we've been at. You got to get more explosive at that position, and Joe Mixon just doesn't break tackles anymore. And if you're not breaking tackles, you can't be explosive. And Zach Moss brings that. And, you know, he had, I don't have the stats here in front of me, I should have, but he had really good production numbers in terms of yards over expectation and tackles broken and explosive elusivity rating and all that. And he did it, a lot of it, with a rookie quarterback. And he wasn't facing the light boxes he's going to be facing with the Bengals. They were loaded up to stop the run because they didn't trust AR, the Anthony Richardson, the rookie right. quarterback. And I also like it because he's been comfortable in being that supplemental back. And I think that's the original plan, is they're going to lean on Chase Brown as their main guy. And then Zach Moss is going to be the counterpunch, if you will, the third down guy. But if Chase Brown doesn't develop the way they like, or if there's an injury first or something else unforeseen happens, I mean, you feel really good about Zach Moss stepping in and being your guy. When Jonathan Taylor was out last year for the Colts, Zach Moss was terrific. And he's one of the best efficiency, production, all that, one of the best numbers in those first three starts he had. He missed the opener because he had a broken arm, and Jonathan Taylor started on PUP, so he missed the first four games. But those games 2, 3, and 4 with a rookie quarterback, that's why you sign a Zach Moss. I that's another signing I really, really like.
I do too. And I think Zach Moss can do things in the offense, certainly in the pass catching game. Joe Mixon was a good, very good all-around back for the Bengals. There's no question about that. But like you said, I think it was time to move on. I get a little bit younger. I believe he's 2 years younger than Joe Mixon. So maybe the fresher legs, I think. And I think that And when you look at that, Jay, 2 years doesn't sound like a lot. But when you're talking about running back in the NFL, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, Mixon was a baby when he came into the league, so you can't really look at chronological age. You have to look at, like you said, the wear and tear. I mean, he's got 7 years in the league. He led the team in rushing 7 straight years. He's only the second guy to do that for the Bengals. They just, even though they're a pass first team and have been since Zach got here, they've still ridden Joe a lot. And I just, it's one of those things where it just happens so fast that these running backs, they hit that plateau and then they just fall off the cliff. You never know when it's coming. I just think that was, you know, he only had 1 year left on the deal. So it wasn't like the Bengals were in danger there, but just the cap hit that he was going to get and the production he was offering just didn't make sense. I think he's a good fit for Houston. I really do think they play in a lot of under center, use a lot of play action. So I think, and he's more inside zone. So I really do think that he can have a nice year for the Texans. But it was a move they had to make. It was a move that felt obvious. I was a little surprised by how shocked Joe and the fan base were when they informed him they were cutting him. And then, hey, Houston jumped in and said, hey, we'll give you a 7th round pick. And Joe gets all of his money. It worked out great for everybody.
Well, it did. I think, you know, Joe Mixon getting a 3-year extension, Jay, that's a great deal for him. That, to me, was the biggest surprise in the whole development.
And I didn't look at the structure of it. I'd be surprised if he played out that 3 years and
right.
at it all. But I don't know if they were trying to defer some of that $8.5 million cap hit this year. That's probably what they were doing. But yeah, to get an extension on top of getting his full salary this year just worked out great for Joe. And, you know, we'll see. I mentioned it on the growler that it'd be really cool if they somehow play the Texans in the preseason and Joe gets to come back and get that warm welcome from the fans It's one thing to do it on social media, but it's another thing to hear it in person.
That's a great point, Jay. And maybe the NFL schedule makers will hear you. By the way, looking ahead to the schedule, would you be interested in going to Germany if the Bengals played the Panthers there? Does that intrigue you?
Yeah, absolutely. But when they played the Rams in 2019, my wife actually went over the week before the game with a friend. The friend flew home on game day, and then I stayed for a week with my wife after the game. And we loved it. We went to Paris. We did all the sites in London. Right. It was great. And I would love to do that again. It's weird because it seems like teams aren't taking advantage of the bye week after the international games. Like, it always used to be an automatic, and now you're seeing a lot more of them just come back and get right back to it. So if that were to happen, then it's probably not an option. But if they do have their bye week after that Germany week, I would love to go over there and do that.
Yeah, I go back and forth, Jay. I want to buy in to the whole going over for 1 week. I will tell you this. I'm glad I'm not covering the Philadelphia Eagles and having to go down to Brazil to start this. I just think that's too disruptive, too long of a distance. It's just a lot of travel.
Did you see, I can't remember which Browns player it was, but he was on with their flagship and he said, we're opening with the Eagles in Brazil. So it looks like Cleveland's going to be that opponent for that opening Friday night. So
wow.
Yeah, that's a tough start. I would not want to go to Brazil. I probably wouldn't. I would probably cover the game off TV.
Yeah, I just let me go off on a tangent because it's my podcast and what the hell, might as well. I am not of the belief that the players long-term want to get involved in having a league or having a division over in Europe or an overseas division. No way.
No. I mean, and I remember talking to Andrew Whitworth about this, and that's how long ago it was that they've been bringing this idea up. It's just, I mean, you wonder because teams are now viewing it as not such the jet lag not being such a big deal and opting to come back and get right back on schedule and not take that bye. But it's just, it would be just, I don't know, way too much. Because even if you're over there, you're still coming back to the States 8 times. I mean, it's one thing to go overseas once, but you're right. You'd be asking a team to, and let, you know, if they had a whole division over there, then that's a little different. You're playing a lot of the games on the same time zone, but still, I don't see it. I know the NFL wants money. That's top of mind, but I think it'd be a mistake to put one team or even entire division over there permanently.
Yeah. It's just been one of my pet peeves. I like sports in their culture, in their environment, the way they were meant to be. And I just don't see the need to expand it all over the world. I get, like you said, I get the financial impact and what the NFL is trying to do in terms of expanding their brand and their marketing product overseas. I do understand that. But the when it comes to actually executing the logistics of playing a game overseas or playing several games overseas, not a big fan. But I'm old-fashioned, Jay.
Well, yeah, so am I. I do like the idea of 4 time slots on a Sunday, every Sunday, where you got the 9:30 game, the 1, the 4, and then the 8:20. But I don't know. Maybe that would get old. Maybe that would be too much after a while.
So how many more moves do you think the Bengals need to make? Kind of summing up what we've talked about here. At least 2, defensive tackle and the right tackle?
Yeah, those 2 for sure. I still think they could get another running back. I've loved the idea of J.K. Dobbins or Clyde Edwards-Helaire on a cheap 1-year deal. Those guys are both still available. So we'll see where the cap hit lies if they get a right tackle and a defensive tackle. But I would think they would be able to do that. And then, you know, a couple of the other guys of their own, you know, a Joe Bocci. There's still some – I know they want to turn things over and start fresh, but – I think Josh Tupou's been, he's been a pretty solid guy. I don't know why you wouldn't bring him back on a 1-year, $1 million deal. Let him battle it out in camp, see if he can win a spot as a depth piece. And even if they do sign a defensive tackle to be a run stopper, you don't have anybody to back him up. But Tupou seems like an ideal backup to me. So, yeah, I think they're far from done. I would say, probably at least 3 more if you include their own guys.
By the way, I'll wrap it up talking about a subject I've talked about for about 81 straight weeks, and that is T. Higgins. It feels that way anyway. Yeah. Your thoughts on T. being tagged and whether or not there is any, I hate to use the word danger, but any possibility that he actually sits out?
No, I don't. I 0% in my mind. I mean, it wouldn't do him any good to do that. You're not going to force Mike Brown's hand. You're going to give up $21.8 million guaranteed,
right?
And they're going to turn around and do it next year all over again. It's the same thing. They would be able to tag you next year. I can't see him doing that, and I can't see him being a problem. You know, yes, sit out the voluntary stuff. Maybe sure. Sit out mandatory minicamp. Maybe sit out some of training camp. But I can't see him being a problem. Just, you know, kind of the way Jesse Bates did. He made his point. Same with Jonah Williams. Skipped a part last year, skipped the voluntary stuff, came in, put his head down, had his best season. I would expect T to do the same thing. I don't think this locker room would allow it to go any other way. And I don't think T has it in him to be a problem. He might be unhappy, but he's going to put team first. And the more you sit out, the less you impact your own value. So he's going to want to have a big year to take that bite at free agency next year. I don't see them trading him. I don't see him sitting out.
Right.
I think September 10th or whatever that first Sunday of the league year, that's, you're going to see him in stripes on the starting lineup for the Bengals.
And yeah, so you don't see a trade happening at all.
No, I just, this wide receiver class is too good. I can't see a team coming in and overpaying for T, and that's what it would take. You're going to have to give the Bengals more than what they think is fair value to get rid of him, because he is so important. And I don't know if there's a team out there that would do that. And, I mean, you saw what I thought the Titans might with the Callahan connection, and they go and get Calvin Ridley. So I just, the later you get into free agency, the more money is spent. I just think teams are making their plans to, if they need a receiver, there's a lot of them in this year's draft.
What are you working on Pro Football Network, Jay?
So I got a RPFN Bengals podcast today, coming up later today. And then I'm going to start turning away from free agency and turning towards the draft and kind of going position by position, who the good fits would be, early, mid, late rounds, and just try to dive into a little film. I'm not a big film study guy, but I do want to try to watch some of these guys and particularly the middle round guys that look like they could be fits for the Bengals. They have 10 picks now. They got the Joe Mixon pick. Comp pick in the third round. They've got a nice bit of draft capital this year. It's going to be a really interesting draft. And I think it's obvious, offensive tackle, defensive tackle early. There's a lot of different ways they can go after that. So we're going to try to dive into all those options.
Nobody does a better job covering the Cincinnati Bengals than Jay Morrison of Pro Football Network. Be sure to follow his work there, and also subscribe, if you haven't already, to the Growler podcast. That's with Paul Daner Jr. and Jay Morrison. It's a tremendous podcast, as well as Jay's work on the Pro Football Network podcast. What's the name of that again, Jay?
Just that, the Pro Football, the PFN Bengals podcast with Dallas Robinson. So,
oh, yeah. I always like it when people keep it simple. You know, I'm all about marketing simple brands, and just something else you learned about me. All right, he's Jay Morrison. He does a tremendous job covering the Bengals. Want to thank him for joining me. Want to thank you for downloading this episode of the Jungle Roar podcast, powered by the CLNS Media Network, as well as our loyal sponsor. And that would be, of course, Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Until next week, I'm Mike Petralia. Keep that jungle roaring.